Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies. So gather your virtual piggy bank and let's get started.
All right, Divya, how are you?
I'm good, Dr. Khan. It's nice to have you back.
Awesome.
Yes, so Dr. Khan, what I want to know today is what are the building blocks of an ICO? The very fundamentals that make up an ICO.
What are the building blocks of an ICO? Very interesting. So let's look at it as three parts, right? What happens before the ICO, during the ICO, and after the ICO, and that's a good way of understanding it. That's the way my logical left brain, I'm largely right brain, but my logical left brain thinks like that. So if you look at what happens before the ICO, you know, before the ICO, there needs to be a real reason. There needs to be a real company and a real reason in most cases to actually do an ICO. And many times, I'm not going to repeat them again here. There are a set of criteria that will determine. Now, you might say, oh, but Bitcoin was not a pre-existing business, right? Yeah, sure. There are always exceptions. And you might be one of those pure play blockchain only companies. That's a brilliant idea. So I'm not talking about exceptions. I'm talking about the norm, the rule. As a rule, I recommend a business that has reached MVP, right? In the lean startup methodology, is something called minimum viable product. That doesn't mean minimum viable product means just because you put some three or four features doesn't mean it's a minimum viable product. That's a minimum product. A minimum viable product is something that you built and tested out. There is market traction. People are liking it. Maybe some of them are paying for it. You're revenue generating. So there are a lot more parameters. People use that term very loosely. That's why I thought I'll define it. So that level is kind of needed. At least if you're an investor into these ICOs, you need to look for those. Otherwise, it's extremely risky, right? So that is one thing. That's what those are the kinds of things you look for before. And then what happens during the ICO? Typically, the ICO itself is being divided into a pre-token sale and a token sale. Because the token sales themselves have become, in US, a couple of million dollars of cost to just, I mean, if you want to raise $30, $40 million, it's not unusual to spend $1.5 to $2 million to raise that $30 to $40 million. Now, the question becomes for the entrepreneur. Where do I get the $1.5 to $2 million to run the ICO? So just like we used to do angel investment, prove something, and then go to VC investment as an analogy, all of that happens on a very compressed time frame. There's a pre-token sale for a couple of months, and then there's a use that money to run the token sale. That seems to be the norm. So pre-token sale, it is, again, okay to expect some discounts and bonuses. That seems to be the norm again. And pre-token sales can be public, which means you can go to a website and participate in a pre-token sale. Or a pre-token sale can be private, which means Divya is a high net worth individual. I'm a founder of a startup. I'm going to pitch the presentation directly to you, and you're going to invest a minimum of $100,000 in the private pre-token sale. So all this is terminology. So first, let's get all of that out of the way. So you do a pre-token sale, you raise a couple of million dollars, you use a couple of million dollars to run a successful token sale or an ICO, and you raise $30 million, $40 million, and voila, you're good to go. After that, it's post-ICO. What do you do? Well, make sure that the money is in a safe place. There are people who raise the money and got stolen. That has happened a lot of times. And so you want to keep your money safe. Maybe you want to park it in some custodian that will manage that money carefully for you and give you access to that cash as you need it. So that is important. And then you are doing all the PR, public relationship, communication with your investors, team building, user base, revenues, scaling up, technology development. So business as usual will start post ICO. So that's kind of how I break it down. Now, if you take the token sale, pre-token and token sale, and you deconstruct them, what do you get out of it? Well, typically, what do we need? Well, you will see something called an ICO website. So there's a website which says, there's usually a counter saying, we are in pre-token sale, 3 days left, 20 minutes left or whatever. And there'll be a button that you can press and find out, you know, how you have to do your KYC in some cases, know your customer type of information, and then figure out the wallet and how to transfer money. Sometimes you can pay using fiat currencies like dollars. Sometimes you have to pay in Ethereum or Bitcoin. So there are different vagaries there. So you have to figure out the eccentricities of the particular token sale. And then there is something called a white paper. There's a video typically that'll give be 2 minutes long. That'll give you the general concept. And there'll be a team, right? So you can click on that and look at the team members who are involved with this. And there are various discussion forums. There's a Telegram group, usually a Slack group, and an email mailing list and so on and so forth. There's something called a white list that you can join ahead of the token sale so that they can give you an exclusive private invitation to invest at a discount and so on and so forth. So these are all ways of building up momentum, energy, excitement, buzz, whatever you call it. So those are all happening. Then there are podcasts going on, YouTube videos that you can go through, some experts that are evaluating these tokens. So that whole PR engine should be going on. Medium articles is another big deal in crypto space. So, but those are typically the elements. You know, do you have an ICO website up and running? Have you figured out what your token is? What's the token design? What is the minimum amount? What's called soft cap? Is there a maximum amount? That is a hard cap. Have you created your video out there? Have you written your Medium articles? Have you created your various social media communities and channels on Telegram, Slack, and other places? Right? And then do you have your white paper all done and rolled out? Do you have your pitch deck for your private investors? And do you have community management going on in all these places? And are you tracking and making sure that this is a push and pull and drag? It's not as easy as it sounds. There's a lot of background. Okay, is there traffic coming? Oh, it's traffic's coming. Why is it not converting? Let me tweak this. Let me tweak that. And every ICO has its own distinct DNA and a signature, but no two ICOs are similar in that sense. But at the same time, there are similar elements in all ICOs. So it's always a good idea to go with experienced players. So there are services companies that have launched several ICOs. So I would recommend you check them out. We ourselves have our ICO services arm too. Yeah. So I'm involved with a crypto podcast, such as Crypto Nights, and also with a services organization called SBL. And lastly, with Atlantis, which is a blockchain capital or investment fund. So those are my three things that I'm involved with. All of those happened over time because I started learning about ICOs and then I started helping and advising ICOs, and then they wanted services and podcasts and money and all of that. So that's how these involvements happen. So that's the way I would deconstruct. The most important, as always, is going to be the team, both your internal team as well as the extended team. The extended team consists of legal help, the legal counsel, the investors, the services organizations, community managers. So you have a host of companies that are probably, and then there is something called bounty. How do you find bugs in your smart contracts, which are very dangerous? You might lose all your money if there are bugs in your smart contracts. So to debug smart contracts, you give out a percentage of the token days as bounties. Or if somebody comes in and takes your English version of the white paper and converts it to Japanese or Korean, you might give a few tokens for that. We ourselves have seen that, right, Divya? For some of the podcasts, we got paid in tokens as well. Yes. So that's called a bounty program. So we were also a part of the bounty program recipients. So I hope that's helping. I know it's a lot, but I just wanted to give a bird's eye view of what are the elements constituting an ICO.
Well, that's very interesting, because a lot of us usually have the misconception that ICOs are a very quick way, a very hassle-free way of raising funds. And it's interesting how much work that goes into an ICO. It might seemingly look very simplistic and very rustic and something that's very easy to do, but quite a lot of thinking and engineering and a lot of machinations goes behind it. Thank you so much, Dr. Khan.
Absolutely. That's 6 to 12 months of effort, night and day for a lot of people. Not at all easy. Yeah. But in many cases, worth it, especially if they're legit companies. And it's worth it for both the parties. It has to be win-win. If it is a legit company with a real business and a potential to succeed, it's good for the startup and it's good for the investors. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Nights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptonights.io.